Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please open your hymn book again to the hymn which you just sang, 334. I want you to look at that first stanza because it is not exactly what Luther wrote in that first stanza. You know, Luther composed this hymn for the occasion of a child service at a time when the Ottoman Turks were knocking at the door of Vienna and all of Germany was trembling, and Luther gathered the children together for a service of prayer and thanksgiving in defense against the Turks. Now, I'd like to read that first stanza the way Luther wrote it. You compare it with your translation. If you don't know enough German, I'll translate Luther for you after a while. In German, it reads, Erhalt uns Herr bei deinem Wort und Steuer des Papsts und Türken Mord, die Jesum Christum deinen Sohn wollen stürzen von deinem Thron. In the old green hymn book, which preceded LW came in about 1940 and caused all the stir that our hymn book today causes. Now we consider LW inspired. But anyway, the inspired hymn book before LW read this verse like this: Lord, keep us in thy word and work, restrain the murderous Pope and Turk, who fain would tear from off thy throne Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son. That's what Luther meant to say and did say. Now, just stop for a moment and think of the situation in the world at that time. 30 years before Luther's birth, in 1453, of course, you know, the Ottoman Turks conquered Constantinople. And after that, it was one thing after another. They conquered everything from the Persian Gulf, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Israel, Lebanon, everything to the north, into Turkey, up into Georgia, now in Russia. And there's an article in Time magazine last week comparing the old Ottoman Empire with that of the Soviet Union. They covered about the same territory, and their threat to the rest of Europe was just as formidable, if not more formidable, because the great Sultan had gathered together in one group all the Muslims. And they, of course, said it is a service to God to kill Christians. And that's what they were saying at the time when Luther composed this hymn. They were knocking at the door of Vienna. But thanks be to God, they never came beyond Vienna. Now, Luther was in a situation which is comparable to that of Jesus. The state and the church were against him. Comparable to that of St. Paul, the state and the church were against them. And all of Europe trembled. It was under those circumstances that he wrote this mighty hymn. But now to the text. And my text is not a hymn stanza. It is the text which Mr. Ziegler just read, which is also the epistle for Reformation Sunday. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. On the occasion of Martin Luther's funeral, John Bugenhagen used this text, and he made the claim that Scripture prophesied the coming of Dr. Martin Luther in these two verses. And ever since then, ever since that occasion, the Lutheran Church has declared this the epistle for Reformation Sunday. And the more you study the text, the more you are convinced that Bugenhagen was right. The text calls Luther an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This is the only place in the Bible that the term everlasting gospel occurs. And if ever a man proclaimed the everlasting gospel, it was Martin Luther, wasn't it? No man should leave this seminary without studying his 1535 commentary to the Galatians. It is a masterpiece of describing the gospel from every point of view. In fact, of course, you know that Walther used the 1535 Galatians to write his book on the proper distinction between law and gospel. I'd like to quote just one passage from that commentary. Luther says, "The gospel brings with it every benefit, both spiritual and physical, namely, the forgiveness of sins, peace of heart, and eternal life. It also brings light and sound judgment about everything. It approves and supports civil government, the home, and every way of life that has been ordained and established by God. It eradicates all doctrines of error, sin, death, sedition, confusion. In short, it uncovers all the works of the devil and opens to us the works of God." To Luther, the gospel was a massive message that reaches into every nook and cranny of your life, not just the spiritual, but the secular as well. And he really believed this gospel. And he was ready to risk all. For example, he said, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth," which of course is the gospel. Now the text says that this angel proclaimed the gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Do you ever hear that kind of a foreign missionary that reached every tribe, every nation, every people? Why, Luther never left Germany or Italy. He never left that country. Can he be called a missionary of the greatest sort? Because beginning with him, missions really began throughout the world, didn't they? And they've all come in the last four centuries since his death. His message, Luther's doctrine, and his gospel just permeates the world in one way or another, whether preached by Lutherans or not. Furthermore, it goes on to say, he said, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come." If Luther were here today and we would ask him, what do these words mean? He would, of course, remind you that he used the term fear God very often. We should fear and love God, that we should do thus and thus. And it occurs very often in his writings. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, you have to add the words that are here in the text, give glory to him. The expression Soli Deo Gloria comes from this text. And ever since Luther's time, Lutherans like to append Soli Deo Gloria to their sermons or their programs. I understand Bach always added the initials SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to all of his musical works. And I guess it's in memory of him that we do this. To fear God means to give him all the glory. Now, in Greek, the word glory is the word doxa, which means opinion. How do you give God all the glory? Just go out and give people the right opinion about God. Give them the right opinion. What kind of a God he is. That's the way you give him the glory. You tell him, as the Bible says, that he's a God of grace and mercy and that he doesn't want one soul to perish. But on with the text. For the hour of his judgment has come. The hour of his judgment. Luther used to say things like, the worst is behind us. He's judged. The deed is done. Like Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Hey, the worst is over. You're not facing the worst. It's behind you. It's all been done. The kingdom ours remaineth. And finally, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. You know, we live in a heathen culture which won't recognize God as creator, will it? 2 years ago, my wife and I stopped at the rim of the Grand Canyon. And I'm glad I did. That is a magnificent sight. If you've never seen it, go see it. In the summer of a morning when the sun comes up, oh my. And as we walked along, there was a young forest ranger lecturing to a group of people, and I heard millions of years, billions of years, millions of years. And so he said to us, we joined that group, are there any questions? And I said, I certainly have one when you get done. And so the audience melted away, and my wife and I were standing there with him, and I said, sir, I would like to ask you just one question. What did God have to do with all of this? Oh, he said, that's just a myth. I said, a myth? I said, it's recorded. Oh, he said, that's just a book of myths. I said, it's a record. You don't have a record like that. And evolution isn't a science. Oh, he said, it's a proven science. Well, I said to myself, it's not going to do me any good to argue with this fella. I'm just going to enjoy the rim. But when I got home, I wrote the Secretary of Interior, Donald Hodel at that time. I don't know who he is now, but I wrote Hodel. And I told him, I wrote the letter most carefully about how much we appreciate what the Department of Interior has done for the world to make this available to the world. I said, but I have one objection. I said, when I was there, I suggested to the forest ranger that I be allowed to get up and give a little spiel about God like he did about evolution, and he refused. He said, the law does not permit you to do that. I said, that's un-American. That's un-American, sir. And you ought to do something about it. Well, at the bottom of the letter, I wrote, Secretary, please see to it that the boss gets this letter. Well, I didn't hear, and I thought, well. But finally, one day, I got a letter from Donald Hodel. I still have it. If you want to see it, I'll show it to you. He thanked me for thanking them. And then he said, I'm going to take your concerns under advisement and see what I can do. Well, I don't know whether he was just talking, but I said to myself, he's bound. He won't get any place because our country is so saturated with paganism, isn't it? It will not acknowledge God, the maker of heaven and earth and the Grand Canyon. But you know, you can't be a Christian unless you do. That's what results from this everlasting gospel, because it finally gives all glory to God. That means give people the right opinion. And what is that opinion? He made it all, he redeemed it all, and he wants to sanctify it all. That's it. That's our job, isn't it? And may you, like Luther, be an angel flying in the heavens, broadcasting this everlasting gospel to this pagan country in which we live. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.